Today, salacious testimony in Donald Trump's criminal trial, as his documents trial in Florida is delayed indefinitely. TikTok sues the US government. And India's disputed Kashmir prepares for elections without Modi's party. It's Wednesday, May 8th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Carmel Crimmins in Dublin. Stormy Daniels has told Donald Trump's criminal trial how she feared their encounter would become public as she came face to face with the former president in court for the first time. Giving evidence for several hours, the porn star offered explicit details about the 2006 encounter. Trump denies the 34 charges against him and ever having sex with Daniels. Jack Queen was in the courthouse.
Yeah, so Ms. Daniels' testimony was pretty remarkable. She offered a lot of lurid details about this encounter she says she had with Trump, and that includes being greeted when she entered his room with him wearing satin pajamas, and then the story about her spanking him with a rolled-up magazine. Some of these things were new, some of them weren't, but it was still remarkable to hear Ms. Daniels recount them on the stand in a criminal trial with Trump seated right there at the defendant's table. Mr. Trump's lawyers were repeatedly objecting to a lot of her answers, saying that they were irrelevant and unnecessary. The judge agreed on several occasions. He told Ms. Daniels to rein things in a little bit, saying she was getting too far afield from the actual questions, telling her to just please stay focused and answer the questions without going off on these colorful digressions about the contents of Trump's toiletry bag and so forth, which she said included golden tweezers in a manicure set. And so after a break, Trump's lawyers asked for a mistrial, saying that Ms. Daniels' testimony was just inflammatory and served no real purpose. And the judge denied that request, but he did agree that some of the testimony was straying a bit too far away from the actual questions.
What about the actual case in hand here? What evidence did Daniels offer for that?
She talked about receiving the payments and all the back and forth and negotiations between lawyers under the radar and things like that. But Mr. Trump himself never entered the picture as far as negotiating the payments went. And that's ultimately what prosecutors have to prove, is that Trump directed his lawyer, Michael Cullen, and others to falsify these business records for him. They didn't get anything on that from Stormy Daniels.
What else did the defense focus on?
Well, Ms. Daniels also faced a pretty tough cross-examination from one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, who was hitting her pretty hard on the inconsistencies in her story as she's told it over the years, and also the fact that she publicly denied it in no uncertain terms multiple times after it was first leaked into the press. And so that raised some credibility issues. And, you know, she also faced some tough questions about her motivations for coming forward with this story, her desire to make some money off of it, and her personal animosity towards Trump. She said she hated Trump and she would like to see him in jail if he was proven guilty.
Jack Queen in New York. Meanwhile, in Florida, Donald Trump's classified documents trial has been postponed. That makes it highly unlikely he'll face a jury in that case before the election. Joe Biden has paused a shipment of weapons to Israel to try and head off a full-scale Israeli assault against Rafah. It happened last week, with the president not wanting large US bombs dropped on the Gaza city, where more than 1 million Palestinian civilians have taken refuge. This appears to be the first time Biden has used his power to stop the movement of arms to Israel since the October 7th attack. Australia has made another move to try and rein in record migration. From Friday, international students are going to have $19,000 in their savings account if they want to land a visa. The requirement is the second savings increase in 7 months. A US soldier detained in Russia has been charged with theft, causing significant damage. Gordon Black will be held in Vladivostok until July 2nd. The Pentagon said he traveled to Russia without authorization. Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Serbia. His visit coincides with the 25th anniversary of the NATO bombing of China's embassy in Belgrade, in which three Chinese journalists were killed. The NATO attack prompted outrage in China and an apology from then-President Bill Clinton. TikTok is suing the US government over a new law that forces its Chinese owner to sell the video app or face a US ban. The government ultimatum is meant to deal with national security concerns that Beijing could access user data or influence what's seen on the platform. But TikTok and its owner ByteDance are saying the law will choke free speech. Josh Ye is in Hong Kong. Josh, what's the core of ByteDance's argument?
There are many layers to ByteDance's arguments, but at the core of it, they're really arguing that this bill violates U.S. users' First Amendment and free speech rights that will allow them to potentially take this case all the way up to Supreme Court, because debates about constitutional rights on a speech platform like this is so unique and unprecedented.
So is it business as usual for TikTok then, while this case winds its way potentially to the Supreme Court?
So at this very moment, TikTok's asking the court to issue a declarative judgment saying that the law violated the Constitution and potentially issue an order that would stop the government from enforcing this bill, right? And now the ball really shifted to the government's court to respond on that point.
What has Beijing's reaction to this legal battle been?
Yeah, I think surprisingly, you know, Beijing has been relatively muted. I mean, make no mistake, they have said that this whole practice is unfair and they vehemently oppose it. But compared to, I guess, a good benchmark is Huawei, right? It hasn't really escalated to the kind of war of words exchange doing the whole Huawei saga. Because from our conversations with experts, you know, TikTok is really not of the same strategic value to Beijing as compared to Huawei.
Equipment being collected after the third phase of India's mammoth general election. Several more rounds take place before counting begins on June 4th. But in the disputed Kashmir region, where voting takes place later this month, people will not be able to back Prime Minister Narendra Modi's BJP. It's not standing in the region. Krishnan Kausik has been there to see how other candidates have reacted to their absence.
So in late April, we flew about 90 minutes from Delhi to reach Kashmir. So we were tracking the political activity for this election in Kashmir. Of course, we went around speaking to some of the major politicians from the region, and one of them was a leader named Mehbooba Mufti. She leads a party called the People's Democratic Party. She said this election is really important because whoever gets elected from Kashmir has to go to the parliament and tell BJP-led ruling government over there that the moves that they made in 2019, which they claim integrated Kashmir better with the rest of the country, were a mistake. Now, she's contesting against the largest party of the region called the National Conference, for which her main opposition leader in the region is a person named Omar Abdullah. And we discussed about what it means for BJP to be absent, or why BJP is absent from this electoral contest.
Why are there no BJP candidates fighting?
He said, since 2019, when the Modi government in New Delhi, they changed the status of Kashmir, stripped its statehood, revoked the partial autonomy that it had. Since then, the Modi government in Delhi has been claiming that these moves have integrated Kashmir with the rest of the country. What Abdullah said, if all these claims were true, then BJP would have been present in this election. They would have been confident that people will vote for them for their policies. To understand why BJP is not contesting, we also met BJP's top leader in the region who had flown down from Jammu to Srinagar to speak to some media people and to speak to their workers over there. What this person named Ravinder Raina, what he explained to us, he just said that this is part of BJP's grand strategy. We asked him if BJP's absence is necessary for peace in the valley, to which he didn't really respond. After the government in Delhi stripped Kashmir of its statehood, it also cancelled its state assembly. Now, the elections for that state assembly, according to Supreme Court, are to be held by later this year. How parties that BJP will support in this election in this region, how they fare could give us a glimpse about what we can possibly anticipate happening in the state election later this year.
Now, if you listened to Tuesday's episode, you'll have heard us talking to Ukraine's entry for Eurovision. The good news for them is that they did make it through the semi-final to reach the big event on Saturday. And good news for me too. Ireland has made the grand final for the first time since 2018.
Media Ireland. Do we have local media from Ireland?
We've broken the so-called Eurovision curse with the witchcraft-inspired and gothic Bambi Thug. That's it for Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow with our daily headline show. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.